Today is October 11th or 12th, whenever you are listening to this, and we are days or hours away from the ALCS. We've got a lot to discuss. Let's talk Yanks. Talking Yanks with old John Boy and Jake. Recaps galore, weekly awards, stat lines, steaming hot takes. Your Yankees news with these two fine dudes. It's time for Talking Yanks. Talking Yanks with old John Boy. John Boy and Jake. Talking Yanks with old John Boy. John Boy and Jake. What's going on, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to Talking Yanks. We hope you are excited, a tiny bit nervous, but mostly hyped up for this American League Championship Series. 15 teams started the season, 13 of them ended it. Two remain in the American League. One is the Yankees. The other is the Houston Astros. Two juggernauts on a collision course all season are about to crash, and we all get to witness it, and we all get to put our hearts on the line. I am excited. My name's John Boy. I'm coming to you from New Jersey, and I've got my co-host, Jake, coming to you from Denver. It is Jake's birthday. It is Gio Urshela's birthday. We're all growing older each and every day. How are you doing, Jake?
I'm doing all right. I wish 20-year-old Jake here was to get drunk and go crazy and hype the people, but 30-year-old Jake is very straightforward, very serious, very well-spoken, and if you've been following us on many platforms, you know I've been living at the DMV the past couple days. I'm not going to talk about that because this is a hype episode. Me and Gio Urshela are both slick fielding third basemen that have backgrounds as soccer goalies. So yeah, I mean, we're a lot of similarities. Both cute, I think, in our own right.
Yeah.
Like, you'd never look at either of us and be like, that's a hot boy.
I think Gio's handsome.
And he's cute.
When we met him in person, he was pretty handsome.
He was slick. I mean, he was in a tux. Like,
yeah, he looked good.
Tux is a tough outfit to be cute in, but
I think Gio's more attractive than you.
Easily.
Okay. We're all there then.
At least we all landed on that same page together.
Happy 30th.
Happy 30th.
Well, the first half of this show is going to be Sharp Stats with Katie Sharp. And if you are a new listener, subscriber, and you haven't been listening all season, Katie Sharp is the head of the Talkin' Yanks analytics department. She brings you the sharpest stats and a little more knowledge to supplement what you see with your eyes.
Sharp Stats will be a little bit of a crescendo today. It's going to start off and you're not going to be super excited with some of the numbers you hear, but at the end of it, you'll be more confident.
Yes. Yes. This is true. It's going to be a tough matchup. So anyway, I'm going to throw it to Sharp Stats right away, and then we will be back to have a little more emotion-based chat. Here you go. All right, postseason Sharp Stats. We welcome Katie Sharp back to the show. It's been a while. She's moved cross country. How are you doing, Katie? How's everything going?
Ha! Everything's great. I mean, how do you not love a place where the first snow is on October 10th? This is heaven for me.
Yeah,
Sorry, guys, but yeah, it was a nice treat to get the first snow during our first, you know, kind of real week here in the Rocky Mountains, and I'm loving it. We got a nice place.
Was there any part of you where you said, if the Yankees don't make the CS, it'll sure make this move a lot easier?
Well, actually, the move happened during the DS.
Okay. So now you're ready to go.
Now I'm fine, dude. I'm fine. I'm all settled in. We got our office set up. We got our TV set up. We have cable. We have internet, which was not true on Friday, last Friday and last Saturday as I was scrambling to watch games. But yeah, I am fired up and ready to go. I cannot believe that we still have to wait as we record this on Friday afternoon, literally another day. I enjoyed the break from the regular season to the division series. I'm not enjoying this break at all.
If you need a good distraction, go to the Department of Motor Vehicles. That's what's been working for me.
Yeah, you're spending a lot of time there.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to make that trip soon.
Oh, wow. That's right. Yeah.
30 days I got.
Jake,
we announced that you're moving to New York, so you should have just waited that out, man, because now you have to get another license in like 6 months.
Well, I might. I've got a lot of thoughts going through my head. Honestly, if it wasn't for my girlfriend, I'd probably go expired license until New York.
Yeah. Just wait it out.
But yeah, she's being a real knob job about the whole thing. So yeah, I'd rather not talk about it. But what I do want to talk about, how we're going to beat these Astros.
How are we going to beat these Astros? Katie, I know you got a ton of solid info for us. Before we go into stats, what are your just thoughts about what's happened in the postseason?
I'm fired up. I mean, like, it's a cliche to say, but I want to beat the best team. You know, you want to beat the best teams on the way to a title. And we're going to have to. You know, obviously in the National League, things didn't work out because the Dodgers, you know, did Dodger things. But yeah, I'm fired up. I want a competitive series. The Twin series was nice, but I feel like that was just a warm-up. And now it's going to get real. This is it. And I'm excited. I want to beat the best and, you know, take our chances with what we got.
We didn't get to talk to you during the DS at all. Did you have any moments of nerves at all? Were you shocked at how easy it was?
I was a little shocked at how easy it was, yeah. I thought the Twins would put up a little bit more of a fight mostly in terms of their offense. But they really struggled. And I mean, that's definitely a credit to the Yankees pitchers, I think. They stepped up and to, you know, a lot of the moves that Boone made. But I thought that they would come through offensively a little bit more. What it basically went down to was runners in scoring position. If you look at the numbers, they were terrible when they had chances. They had plenty of chances. That was the thing. We kept giving them chances, putting traffic on the bases. But our guys, they were just balls out, you know, our pitchers. And the Twins just couldn't come through in those clutch situations, and the Yankees did. And that's something that the Yankees have done all season long, as we know. That was my biggest takeaway, in that I thought that the Twins honestly would give us a little bit more of a fight.
Yeah. Well,
and I don't know if it was playoff nerves or what, but
I think it was a lot of that and no pitching and kind of just lost morale. But the Astros are
Yankees defense.
Astros are a completely different story. So what do you got for us just off the bat with this series?
The first thing kind of that I wanted to talk about, well, basically what I'm going to do is kind of, I think we should just lay out like a couple keys to winning the series. And a lot of these might be obvious, you know, but I'm going to try and just kind of bring some stats that really, really show, you know, how important these are. So some stuff that you may not know or may not be aware of, hopefully you'll learn something in this show. So the first thing is pretty obvious. The Yankees have to get out to a lead. They have to score first. We know that has not been one of their strengths during the season. And, you know, they've won a lot of games with comebacks. We've talked about that. They've been very resilient. They've been the comeback kings. But I think with Houston, it becomes even more important to get out to an early lead. First of all, not only, you know, obviously the fact that Houston has home field advantage. And when you're in Houston, the best thing to do to take the crowd out of it, obviously, is to score first. Don't give them any momentum there. But some of the numbers here are just truly remarkable. So the Astros, just basically, when they score first, they have the second best record in Major League Baseball, 75-19. Not terribly surprising. They were good. When they're at home, they have the first best record in baseball. So the best record when scoring first at home, 40-5. They have 5 losses at home when they scored first. That's pretty remarkable. Then just looking at, this was one of the more astounding ones, and it came to my mind when I was watching game five. When they score at least 2 runs in the first inning, so just 2 runs, they are 27-0. This is home, road, wherever.
If the Astros score 2 runs, they've never lost in the first inning.
Yeah, they're the only undefeated team in that situation in baseball. So it's not like a normal thing, you know? Yeah.
So just have Chad open every inning?
I don't know what the solution is. And then when they have just a multiple run lead in a game, so just like two runs at any point in the game, when they're at home, they are 59-2. That's just two run lead. And that's obviously the best. And then they are also the best just overall when they have a two run lead or more. They've won 90% of those games. So there's not much margin for error when you are playing these Astros.
I've got two things. Paxton against the Astros is must-watch TV in the first inning.
It could be disaster. Yeah, that could be the game right there.
And B, I do want to, because a lot of these numbers may not be reassuring you on your drive-in or sitting on your desk or getting ready for the game. But I will say this. I mean, the Yankees and Houston are the clear elite teams in baseball. So it's not like every time Houston's gone up, those 27 times they've gone up two runs, they haven't been playing the Yankees. You know,
right.
I'm sure
yeah.
some of those were against the Tigers, the Royals, the Mariners, teams like that. So there's a little bit of solace for you, but those are pretty significant numbers.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, obviously I didn't break it down between, you know, 500 against winning teams or playoff teams or anything like that. And, you know, they obviously they did play a lot of bad teams, as the Yankees did too.
Yeah.
So take that for what you know. I think it just reinforces, you know, the fact that the Yankees really have to come out of the gun, you know, just guns blazing. And we know the home field advantage. We know that they lost all the games in Houston in 2017, and Houston swept them this year in Houston during the regular season. So it's just one thing that, you know, one little thing that the Yankees are going to have to overcome.
Do you have any numbers on comebacks? Are the Astros a good come from behind team? I know the Yankees are. I know that the Braves were. Like, some people, you know, just have that ability to never say die. So if the Astros don't get off to their early lead, are they doomed? Can you tell me that? They're like 75 and zero when they don't get a 2-run lead? Or
well,
zero and
they're
75?
Actually. Yeah, they're really good at comebacks. I mean, it's no surprise.
Wrong.
It's no surprise that the top three teams in winning percentage when falling behind in a game, so like a comeback win percentage, whatever you want to call it, are the Dodgers, number one, the Astros, number two, the Yankees, number three.
Nice.
So,
two juggernauts
really good
are really
at everything.
Facing off. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do we want to?
They're really good at everything.
Do you have any more little keys before we get into kind of the big chunky stuff with the Boone and the bullpen and that kind of stuff?
No, I think that was, you know, that scoring first thing kind of was one of the, you know, just like a very high level kind of thing that I just wanted to point out, not to scare people. But yeah, let's move on to the...
Well, Katie, but before we do, I just one quick thing, because we love referencing you as our analytics department. I mean, are those numbers significant enough that you could see the Yankees trying different things early in the game? Like, would we see an aggressive stolen base or something like that? I know that's super out of sorts for the Yankees, but...
I know that you call those actionable stats, Jake. So just you would say,
are these actionable
stats? Is there Do these make the Yankees perform different actions? Just to keep Tango Tiger taught me that, you know. So
they actionable,
I like that.
Snots.
It's possible. It's possible if the Yankees are aware of, you know, obviously they're aware that the Astros are very good. But I think it definitely wouldn't hurt to try and be a little bit more aggressive on the bases. I mean, it's the same thing. The Astros are the best team in the majors this year. They proved it. You know, they won the most games. So I think that anytime you face the best team, you have to be a little bit more aggressive, especially early in the games when you can't waste chances. I could definitely see them.
That pivots us perfectly into Boone, being aggressive, not wasting the moment. Because you've heard my recaps of the ALDS. I was pleased with Boone's aggressiveness with the bullpen. And I think we have a lot of good stuff on that. Did you like it? And B, what's the best strategy against this Astros team with the bullpen and all that stuff?
Yeah, I absolutely loved it. I thought he, I mean, it's been written about, you know, a lot, but he's a different manager this year compared to last year. And I think everybody realizes that. And I think so far so good. You know, he's pulled all the right punches. He's made all of the right moves. Nothing that has backfired so far since we swept the Twins in that first run. But I was really impressed by his aggressiveness. And this is something that he's done the entire season. So it's not really something new. I think it just gets a little bit more highlighted in the postseason because the mistakes were so glaring last year. And also when you look at him compared to a guy like Dave Roberts, who has been taken, you know, he's been just put through a ringer in terms of the moves that he's made, that he made during the division series.
Dave Roberts, when his brain froze up on him. He was so scared to make the wrong move. He was like, fuck it, we'll just ride out Joe Kelly. Do something.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
It was pretty obvious to everyone, I think, that was watching, anybody that sort of knew anything about the game and about the team. And so I think that when you – and so Boone's moves this year so far in the against Minnesota, you know, kind of they just really contrast with what Roberts did and just kind of really highlight how good he has been. So I'm extremely happy with what he's done. He's really – the thing to me, he's really defined the roles. So basically – so far in the postseason, it's basically just like, you know, two times through the rotation. The rotation goes two times through the order. And then he's been using Ottavino against the righties and then Conley against the lefties. And then just a Chad Green kind of to bridge and be the glue to everything. And then Britton and Chapman to finish it off. And it's worth noting, you know, like 10 of the 13 in a third innings that have been pitched in the bullpen have been by those big five guys. Another one was Happ, and I think we got a Lasagna and a Tyler Lyons in the blowout there. But the fact that he's been able to deploy those arms as much as possible has been really key. And one thing I did want to point out about that is that what I like to use in terms of kind of evaluating is he putting the best guys in the best situations is looking at leverage index. And we've talked about this on the show before. It's basically just a measure of how much pressure there is at each point in the game for each plate appearance. And one of the things that I was looking at is when I looked at it last year, four of the five highest pitchers on the team with the highest average leverage index were starters. And that to me just baffled me because there's one thing I want to point out. Leverage index, like I said, it measures how important a plate appearance is. Really, the most important plate appearances are going to be later in the games, right? So I broke it down. It's basically like 3% of any of like high leverage. So what I did is I kind of looked at when are the most high leverage plate appearances occurring? What innings? So Fangraphs breaks it down between high leverage, medium leverage, and low leverage, right? So in the first inning of all the total high leverage plate appearances, about 3% of them happen in the first inning. It's about 5% in the second, 6% in the third. And so it just keeps ramping up until you get about 13% in the sixth. And then you're getting into like the 15s, the 19s, and then in the ninth inning, about 23% of all are occurring in that inning. So the fact that last year, four of the five highest average leverage index marks were by starters tells me a little bit something that Boone was leaving them in a little bit too long to face. You don't want a starter really facing those high pressure situations. That's just not ideal. You want to have your bullpen arms in those high leverage situations.
There was last year where I think Boone, in his first year as being a manager, he very much wanted to get the trust of the room, and he very much wanted to instill trust in his guys and let CeCe go for the fourth inning and let Seve go for the fourth inning. And I think he has found other ways to get the room's respect, or now he has the room's respect that he doesn't feel the need to trust his guys. And that's exactly what Dave Roberts did with Kershaw. He, in his post game, he was like, he's my guy. I trust
him. He's my guy.
And Boone's a little more ruthless, which you have to be now, where he's saying like, oh, Otto, you're one batter. Canley, you're one batter. Like, I'm not, my trust isn't going to give you big leverage things. Your stats and your skill are, which is a much better way to go about it. Yeah.
And I think that absolutely has to do with the fact that he's in his second year.
Yeah.
You know,
me too.
He has command of that dugout. He has command of the room there. And so this year, like I said, 4 or 5 last year, only one starter is in the top 5 this year in terms of average leverage index. And that's Luis Severino. I think that that was, you know, when he basically, a lot of that was that bases loaded situation that he found himself in. Which he did remarkably got out of. I don't know how he did that, but it was awesome. That was probably one of my top highlights of the series. But other than that, it's all relievers, and it's the relievers you want. It's the top three are Green, Conley, and Britton. So he's been really, really good at deploying his arms at the right time, the bullpen arms, and getting that quick hook to go to his best pitchers, because we know the Yankees starters are not the best pitchers, right? We know that the Yankees relievers are the better pitchers.
Yes, and like that's a plan. I said this casually to Jake. I was listening to the radio, and they were like, name a pitcher on the Yankees that can go 8 innings pitch, 10 Ks like Gerrit Cole. It's like, well, that is not the design of the team. Like, because they don't have pitchers that do that, they have a bullpen that can take away 4-plus innings. So don't look at it as, it's not necessarily a negative. Our bullpen and 5 innings of Tanaka or Paxton is pretty equal to 8 innings of, or 7 innings of Verlander and 2 of their bullpen. You know, like,
exactly.
We're good.
It's just a matter of, you know, what the ratio is going to be. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really matter who pitches. It's just a matter of the quality of the pitching, right? And then two other things I really want to point out why the Yankees need to use this, why the Yankees are smart in using this bullpen strategy, is that, as we know, we've talked about this on the show before, the Yankees starting pitchers are terrible the third term through the order, right?
Yeah.
They have the third worst batting average allowed, the second worst slugging percentage allowed, and the fourth worst OPS. And this is particularly a problem against the Astros, who, not shockingly, are just crush pitchers the third time through the order, right? Yeah. They have the third best batting average, the second best slugging percentage, and the second best OPS when they see a starter the third time through the order. So I think that makes it even more critical for Boone to have that quick hook. And then one other thing I want to point out, which is pretty amazing. This is one of these nuggets that I kind of uncovered, which was surprising to me. We know that the Yankees, they have a lot of high-velocity arms in the bullpen. They've got Chapman. They've got Green. They've got Conley.
They bring the heat.
As Jakey Stats mentioned to me in an email, they have lasagna. The Houston batters, and this was surprising, they are actually below average against 95-mile-per-hour or higher pitches. So the Yankees throw a lot of those. They have the 6th highest percentage of that.
I would guess Altuve is the only one that really doesn't falter.
I think it's Springer and Altuve. I couldn't remember exactly. But the Houston batters, they have a 233 batting average, which is 23rd in the majors. The MLB average is 249. They have a 404 slugging against these high-velocity pitches, which is 18th in the majors. And then they have a 318 wOBA, which is also 18th in the majors. So below average in all three of those stats against high-velocity pitches. And so I think it just makes sense for the Yankees to start rolling out their bullpen arms.
And I guess, Katie, you mentioned that I mentioned Loaiza, and before people start tweeting at me, I mean, the other arms that you mentioned that are our high velo guys, their roles I mean, are pretty much going to be the same. I mean, Chapman, Canely, those guys, they are in their roles and they're going to do their things. Is there a chance that Johnny Lasagna with his fastball could find himself? Are the stats enough to say, like, hey, it's the fourth inning, you know, someone's running out of gas, like, give Laza a chance? Are the numbers that significant or no?
I mean, I don't think so. I don't think so at all. Because I mean, it's one thing to throw hard. It's another thing to throw hard and locate it. And we know that Lasagna has problems with his command. So I can't see them doing that, but I just thought it was really interesting, how poorly, you know, Houston does against those high velocity pitches, since they do, they're amazing against in every other split or stat or whatever you want to say. And the fact that the Yankees have good high velocity pitchers, like Chapman is good and he throws hard. Green is good and he throws hard. You know, so that I think gives them an advantage there.
That's good to know. You know, the 2-run lead at the top of the show, that was a gut punch. Now I know they can't hit heat. They're a bunch of wusses, so we'll just jam some 100-mile-per-hour fastballs down their throats all day. It's great.
Yeah, that sounds good. I can do that.
I think it leads us into the how are we going to get a lead. So if you could just tell us that, Katie, that would be fantastic.
Please.
I mean, it's just as easy as kind of just going up there and whacking some home runs, right?
Yes.
Swing the stick,
I mean,
kid.
That's what we do. Is we just live and die by the long ball, correct?
Look for something in your wheelhouse and give it a good swing, kid, huh?
Only if you love it. Only if you love it.
No, seriously. Okay. So we know what we're going against. We're going against Cole, Verlander, Greinke, right? And, you know, even though they went to game fives, those guys, they're going to get to pitch twice if it's a 7-game series. They're going to get to pitch in the first 3 games of the ALCS. It doesn't matter. Maybe it's a little bit of a different order. But we still got to face them, and we still have to beat, you know, we still have to beat one of, you know, at least 2 of them in order to gain an advantage there. So, you know, this is not easy. We know that they were Cole and Verlander were like in the top like 2 in ERA. They also, this is amazing. Cole, Verlander, and Greinke were the top 3 in the American League in the lowest WOBA allowed the 3rd time through the order. So don't think that you're going to be getting them tired and them throwing meatballs.
You got to get like 2 runs and you got to get their pitch count up. But also, Katie, the catch 22 is you got to attack early in the count. It's so fucked. We've seen this struggle with Verlander a bunch of times. Verlander has owned the Yankees. And, I mean, through the last 2 seasons when we've been doing Talking Yanks, Jake and I have said, I wonder what their strategy is going to be. Because sometimes they like to sit back and get his pitch count up. But that results in a ton of strikeouts and no production at all. Other times, they like to attack early. And if that works, you're lucky if you get 2 to 3 runs, but you're allowing his pitch count where he's going to go at least 8 innings. So you hope that your defense and your pitching shuts him down and those 3 runs help you out. It's such a catch 22 of bad. They're so good.
Yeah. I'm going to start off. I guess I'll start off with Verlander. I was going to start off with how to beat Cole. But with Verlander, it's really tricky. Like you said, one of the things that Verlander does the best at is he has the highest chase rate in baseball. So chasing pitches out of the zone. He gets batters to chase the pitches out of the zone more than anybody else. So I think that really reinforces that the Yankees need to be disciplined. And this is one of the things that they did very well in the Twins series. They, you know, they didn't chase. And during the regular season, they had the ninth. They were top 10. They were 9th best chase rate in the regular season. So this is kind of one of those things that Boone harped on this season, control the zone, right? They really need to do that against Verlander. They cannot, because that is the way that he gets people out, is he gets people to expand the zone and chase his breaking pitches out of the zone. One thing also I'm going to point out, and this is going to be true with Cole, is that he throws, he's a high velocity pitcher, right? He throws, he's top 10 in the number of pitches that he throws that are 95 miles per hour or higher. We mentioned before the Astros struggle against that high heat. The Yankees, on the other hand, are really good against the high heat. The high velocity pitches. They have the third best batting average, the second best slugging percentage, and the third best WOBA against pitches 95 miles per hour. So I think that gives them, you know, they have to have that confidence that they can handle Verlander when he throws that fastball. They can handle Cole when he throws that fastball, because Cole has the fourth highest percentage of pitches that thrown 95 miles per hour or higher among starters this season. And as I mentioned, Verlander's in the top 10 there. So I think that those are two ways that they can kind of get to them. The problem is you got to lay off the pitches out of the zone when you're talking with Verlander. So I think that those are two keys to beating Verlander and to beating Cole. And one other thing I want to talk about with Cole is one of the things that he likes to do is he really likes to pitch high in the zone.
Yeah.
Right? He likes to throw that rising fastball. He has the sixth highest percentage of pitches thrown above the letters. So those high pitches, the rising fastball. That thing, you know, that may seem like something that the Yankees struggle with, but actually they're pretty good. And the two guys that really mash those high pitches, the first one is Judge, which I don't know if it's surprising, because he's, you know, maybe he's tall, but Judge against pitches in the upper part of the zone and above that, he's in the top 10 in slugging percentage, a 648 slugging percentage, top 10 in WOBA, a 437 WOBA, which is really good. The league average is, you know, 330. And then Gardner is also really good at those high pitches, those tomahawks, you know? He's top 30 in slugging and WOBA. So those two guys have been really successful for the Yankees, among others, but those I wanted to highlight against pitches above the letters, high in the zone, which are the ones that Cole really likes to get outs with. He likes to get that strikeout with his rising fastball. And as a team, the Yankees are fourth in slugging against those pitches up in the zone and fifth in WOBA. So I think that, you know, as much as, you know, as good as Cole has been, and he's been fantastic, the Yankees do have a couple advantages when facing him, looking at his strengths versus what the Yankees' strengths are.
I like that. That excites me.
Yeah.
Because he's scary. Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you how good Cole is and the fact that he hasn't lost a game since May 22nd and the team hasn't lost a game he started since July 12th. I won't tell you that. So
okay,
we don't need to mention that.
Leave that off the episode.
Thanks, Katie.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't want to rile up the fans real quick, but Gerrit Cole potentially could have his only start this series in the zoo. I'm just saying.
Yeah. That's one advantage is that he will have to make he will be pitching game 3 at Yankee Stadium.
Boom.
But there you go.
Take that high heat and short porch him all day.
All day. All day. On repeat. Die.
It's no problem. You just got to hit the home runs. The home runs are the key, right?
Hit home runs. We had one more thing, Katie. I was actually super interested in this because I like this stuff type of data. Is you have the numbers for ALCSs in which one team went 5 games in the DS and the other team swept in the DS. If the Yankees
yes.
swept... The Astros went to game 5. How many ALCSs have we had where this is the path the two teams taken and one of the results of those? I know that this really doesn't mean anything, but I love this sort of data and info. So what do you have on this? And I believe this is the sharpest stat.
Yeah, this will be the sharpest stat of the week, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
okay, so I went back. And obviously, we're just looking at the Division Series era, so since 1995, right? This will be the ninth time it's happened. So eight previous times. And the team that swept is 4-4 in those LCS series. So really, you know what it means?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Damn. You know what?
Damn.
I'm happier that it's 4-4 than if you were to throw out like a 8-0, because that would scare me more than excite me.
Yeah.
So just the fact that
it means nothing. Yeah.
Oh my God, I thought you meant they were 4-4 and winning. I thought we were wrapping it up for the Yankees. It's
no. 4-4. So 4 wins by the team that swept and 4 losses for the team that swept. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry to make that clear for everybody. It means nothing. It means nothing. It's 2019, by the way, and this is the Yankees and the Astros. So that's all that we need to know.
It's going to be a juggernaut. Well, thank you very much for joining us and giving us such great insight, analytics, and conversations as usual. We hope you enjoy the game. Will you be watching it? You have cable set up. You ready to go?
We got it. We got our big screen TV. We're all set. No problems. I'll be there.
All right. And we'll figure out when the next time we have a Sharp Stats is. Hopefully we get enough wins to do it.
Yep.
Perfect. Thank you, as always, Katie. We will see you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Later. All right. Everyone, go tweet at Katie Sharp. Tell her thank you for coming on, as always. And hopefully we get to hear back from her as we go. If you're new to Talking Yanks, that was your first time tuning in. She's been giving awesome insight and stats the entire time. Been a lot of fun. Jake, where are you at? Where are you at with this series?
I'll start off hot. I'm not going to ease into this with, well, Houston's a good team. So are the Yankees. You're going to see great baseball out there. It's going to come down to a few plays. Greinke's a bum. I'm out on Greinke. His recent playoff numbers are garbage. The stuff he's doing in the press conferences irk me. And in a way that, I mean, you've seen me every day over the baseball season that you don't see that reaction out of me. I think, yes, I mean, I know the guy has had some anxiety issues and some mental stuff, but if you come into press conferences just wanting to look like, I don't know, you're coming down off like meth or something like that, like the dude, like you can still answer questions. The guy normally does answer questions in the season, usually with like almost a silly twang on the end. Now he's not even like addressing the question. He's just saying, I don't know, I'll be there. And it's just like, dude, know that it is a moment and know that it's going to be a moment. And I don't know. He got knocked around his first start. His last couple playoff starts previous to that, also not impressive. Tampa knocked him around 3.2, 6 earned runs. He had an okay start against the Dodgers, 5 innings pitched, 3 earned runs, 2 homers and 5 walks in that game. And then his start before that in 2017 was 3.2, 4 earned runs to Colorado. So since 2015, he's got 3 playoff starts that are very poor. I think that's fair. And just everything he's showing me, I'm not impressed. So Greinke, him starting game one, and I know I saw your face just give me the, like, you're leaning too hard that now Greinke's going to shove. And he might. It's baseball. We saw the Braves give up 10 in the first, but I'm out on Greinke.
You're talking about Greinke the way I talked about Dobnak, and one's a Hall of Famer and one's an Uber driver.
One might be a Hall of Famer, and might not be after this playoff start. Greinke's clearly the weak link. I think there's also something to be, Greinke normally comes in on the Diamondbacks, not necessarily on the Dodgers, but to a degree, he was the dude. And he is so clearly not the dude. It's Cole and Verlander. I think Greinke's in a bad spot. Him starting game one, I think, is a huge thing. That being said, like, it doesn't mean the game's over. Like, I don't think we're just walking into Houston, getting one, and calling it. Their bats are really good. We still don't know who's starting game one. I don't know. The thing that I have been saying a lot that's not as cocky, confident, dumb, or whatever you want to talk about what I just said, Gerrit Cole potentially having only one start in this series, unless it goes 7, and that one start is going to be the first game of the ALCS at Yankee Stadium, I think that's impactful. And he could shut us up real quick, but I don't know. I think there's a couple... The Rays taking them 5, I think that truly is impactful to this series.
Yeah, I like I said on Talking Baseball, what was my analogy? That like they loosened the pickle jar and now maybe the Yankees can open it up. Because what they did taking it to a game five definitely left a mark. And I'm happy that Greinke's first and he's the first pitcher. But if we don't, if the Yankees don't get to Greinke, and then you're down one game with Verlander and Cole looming, that sucks. So it's a lot of pressure to win game one for the Yankees right now. And we're in a good position to do it. Because, yeah, I think, you know, I'd love to see Greinke on a road game. I would really like to see that. So we'll see how it goes. Anything else? I mean, we haven't gotten the roster yet, so we don't know that. Do you have a, if you had to have a sleeper of who's going to carry us, would you choose someone? Like, would you choose Stanton or Gary? Like, do you think it's going to reverse? The guys that didn't have a lot of hits are going to reverse? Or you stick with Didi, Judge, Glaber?
I'd say Didi's definitely the wild card, right? Like, Didi got it going, but the Twins thing is kind of the Twins thing, and it's just like, okay. Didi's who I would label the wild card. I think Judge is locked in. I don't know, man. I think it's a different guy every day. I think that top of the lineup, like DJ LeMahieu, is going to give you a good at bat. Like we've seen that for 6 months now. I'm not worried about him. You'd love to see Gary get going. I guess that's a guy that right now, since Gary's come back, which again, small sample, but we haven't seen Gary Sanchez be Gary Sanchez that was the guy that was insane. He was leading Major League Baseball in home runs for a little bit this year. He has the injuries. He's also a catcher. Gary Sanchez, I guess that's the guy at Circle who, in the 2017 series, he had some success that series. So Gary's the guy that, if he's locked in, I think I'd be sitting back, you know, Saturday night being like, okay. Like, that would be huge.
I would love Gary to have a big series.
You?
Yeah, I think I'd be pretty happy about it. Are you worried at all about tipping pitches? Paxton got caught tipping pitches when he was in Houston. They just got Glasnow tipping pitches. It seems to be something that they're really good at picking up. I'm sure they're going through the footage like crazy trying to find anything. I think Tanaka throws too many pitches. It might be hard. Paxton throws three. Are you worried? Are you worried about this? Do you think the Yankees need to be cautious, change anything?
I have a good spin zone for this. I'll go blessing in disguise a little bit because Paxton got caught by them earlier this year. The game that just happened, Glasnow, nobody's looked like they clearly knew. Like even when we scored runs off Tyler Glasnow, it was infield single. It was a walk, and then there was a hit. They were just roping line drive after line drive. Mm-hmm. And I think if you're Boone, that's something you have to be wary of coming into this. I think if you see, you know, three straight whack, 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 that maybe they've picked up on something. Maybe it's just three good hitters in a row, but you definitely have to be conscious of that. But yeah, I mean, obviously, the Yankees are on high alert for that with Paxton and Glasnow just happening. I know the one question
I think that it's a blessing in disguise that this just was so obvious that they had Glasnow's number, and it's so obvious that they went into the game with the nugget of like some scout said, "Hey, we caught this. Check his glove," and then they were like, "Yep, that's what it is." Because now the Yankees can really do some internal, okay, what do we have on us? You know, what could they possibly, because this is something the Astros do. They're going to be doing it to us. So I think it's a blessing in disguise.
Yeah, and so I think that's some Yankee stuff. I think Houston-wise, this was the only question I had coming in, because I normally like stumbling into things, and I've never prepared myself for anything in my life. Who on Houston are you saying, like, yo, that dude can't beat us?
Reddick, even though he's my best friend.
Right.
He's having an awful playoffs, so, like, don't let him get hot. I think Brantley's not doing that well either. Like, you mean, like, who do I, like...
So, I mean, I'll just show you my mental space. Like, if Altuve's right, you just, it is what it is, and you're going to have to pitch around him sometimes, or you're going to have to be super careful. Like, just respect the hell out of Altuve. I think Springer's kind of the same way from what we've seen from his postseason experience. For me, right now, it's Yordan Alvarez and it's Correa. Correa's had some back stuff this year. He hasn't had a full Correa season. I think right now, and maybe what this is for me is the battle of the seventh hole hitters, because I believe Correa's hitting seventh and so has been Gary. Two guys that could be in the heart of any major league lineup are hitting seventh. And then Yordan Alvarez, I just think he's a young kid and he's a little bit of like bonus points. I should start over. He's been great. But for what this Houston team has been, Yordan Alvarez is, I mean, he's their like cleanup hitter. He's this power lefty. He's kind of what they didn't have, and now they have it. So for me, he's young. These are going to be the biggest games of his career. I want Yordan Alvarez locked up this series.
Okay. I was trying to pull up some stats of what the, who was hot versus the... Who'd they just play? The Rays?
Rays.
And who wasn't? I'm trying to see by guys that played five games, you know, that were actually out there doing it. Mariznick got into four games. Is he a defensive replacement?
Yeah, he's pretty special in center field. They moved Springer over to right. And yeah, he tracked down a ball. I forget if it was game five. I want to say maybe eighth inning of game five that was he covered some space.
Okay, so I have their top 10 hitters here in, you know, at-bats. And it looks like Chirinos, he comes in late, so I'm just going to X him out. He's not.
Well, Chirinos, he's that's Cole's personal catcher.
Oh, good for him. Yeah. All right, so I'm not counting Chirinos then. So who had a terrible, George Springer had a terrible ALDS. Josh Reddick had a terrible ALDS. Carlos Correa, terrible. Michael Brantley, not good. Really, Bregman and Altuve are the guys that did really well. And then Alvarez had a pretty good ALDS. But Alvarez with a short porch, I think they got to be careful in home games. But, man, I think Altuve is the head of the snake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get that. I guess for me, it's just one of those things like, I mean, if Aaron Judge is locked in, he's locked in. And I think Jose Altuve and Bregman, they deserve that kind of respect. Like you just, when you're going through that lineup, it, you know, if those guys are coming up with runners on base, you have to be incredibly careful. If they're not, I mean, maybe a free pass isn't the worst thing. I mean, as we saw what Altuve did to Tampa in game five, and I mean, Bregman's one of the best players in baseball.
Yeah, it's Altuve in 2017. He had a really good ALCS. The three games at Yankee Stadium, Altuve went 0 for 12.
That's because he doesn't know what pitches are coming when he's in Houston.
0 for 10. And the Yankees won all three of those games. So, I mean, I think if you get Altuve, if you quiet him, I think with him comes confidence, comes like passing the baton and all this, they kind of thrive off him. So I think you prioritize quieting Altuve and then hope none of the other guys get you along the way.
Yeah. And maybe that's, and I guess spinning this into further conversations, Adam Ottavino, there's a lot of tough righties in this Houston lineup. I know in Minnesota, you had the short leash on the walks, and arguably deservedly so. Man, if you can get that Frisbee work in this series, Springer, Altuve, Bregman, Correa, I mean, Adam Ottavino, last series was not your A series. You haven't been completely locked in for a little bit. Dude. Own it. Like that third time through the lineup, be special Adam Ottavino.
I think that's a good pick as like who can be a difference maker. Like if out of the bullpen, if Ottavino can be one inning you know, every game or as whatever games we need him, and he can like lock down those big righties, that changes the whole complexity of our bullpen and the game. So yeah, I think him finding himself is a game changer.
If by game three, Houston can see him coming out of the bullpen and go, God damn it, that would be nice.
And their bullpen doesn't really have anyone great out there. It's a lot of righties. They said they're going to put someone on the roster in the bullpen. I forget. He might be a lefty. As of now, Wade
Framber?
No, it was someone else. I forget who.
Framber alert?
But getting to their bullpen will be key. Get the bullpens. The Yankees want to get to their bullpen with a tie game or a lead, and they want to get to the Astros bullpen with a tie game or, you know, within a two-run swing, and you will be happy, but you need at least three innings out of the bullpen. Yankees are rooting for bullpens. We're rooting for ours to come out. We're rooting for theirs to come out.
I like that, rooting for bullpens. If you're not familiar, they have old Toronto closer Roberto Osuna is their closer now, and he's got really good numbers. It's not like he's untouchable. I don't think you have to fully get religious at the end of games. I think you just need to lock in and put together some good at bats. I mean, there's a chance if he gets knocked around this series that Will Harris, who had a better season, could jump him. In theory, as their closer. He relieved him as the closer in one of the Tampa games. Devenski hasn't been special this year, and Ryan Presley had the incredible start to the season and then has come back down to earth a little bit. All righties, and this kind of spun us on our voicemail episode to, I mean, should Luke Voit be on this roster? Because I don't know if there's a spot for him.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. They started to come down on the Hicks things a little bit. You know, if he's not on this, he'll be on the World Series roster and stuff like that. So I don't know. Brad Peacock, that's what I was thinking. It is very highly likely.
He's a righty, I believe.
That Brad Peacock will be one of the guys that they discuss putting on. So that's a new pitcher. But, yeah, I think he's a righty as well. So they have no lefties.
Yeah,
they have all righties. So what's that mean? Is that an actionable item for the Yankees to plan around, or no, not at all, right?
No. Maybe this is where we should land. Aaron Hicks. What is Aaron Hicks? And if we're getting mowed down by righties, he's the only guy that you could turn to and be like, well, let's give this dude a shot because he's an impact lefty bat.
Yeah. I know he changes it up. If Hicks can play, and you know what, if Hicks is healthy, he's on the roster. I'd put him on the roster. If Hicks is healthy, put him on the roster.
If the bats are struggling,
worst case he doesn't play, Jake. Worst case he's Tyler Wade and just sits on the bench. And so who loses in that? No one loses with Hicks being Tyler Wade's role. There's no loss, but the upside is his arm, his defense. And if he's seeing pitches well, his eye, and then if he can swing a little, I mean, there's a lot of upside. There's no downside.
We're assuming they're going to run out the same lineup because they swept the Twins and the lineup looks good.
Yeah.
With the Hicks news, and assuming he makes the roster, and again, we don't know what they saw. Aaron Boone was catching the balls at third base from him the other day, which is a lot of fun. Is Gio Urshela's seat hot on the hot corner? Hello. Because we both agree that if Hicks comes in the lineup, that's the guy you got to take out.
If he comes into the starting nine, yes.
Like if Gio Urshela starts off this series 0-6.
Yeah, then you could put Edwin to first, Stanton to DH, Gardy to left, and Hicks to center. That would be the little merry-go-round there.
Yeah.
But I
do you think Hicks impacts this series?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking why not, dude? That's what this season has been. Next man up. Whoever we put out there is going to perform. Mike Ford hit walk-offs. Like, do you think, is it crazy to think, like, of course Aaron Hicks comes through? And then again, he could not even be on the roster. Who knows? But if he's on the roster and he plays, I'm not doubting that he could have a moment.
I guess that's where I'm almost calling BS on myself right now, is because I pictured Hicks sliding into the Maben role. He comes in defensive replacement in center, and maybe he gets one at bat later in the game. I'm almost calling BS on myself because it's like, if he's on the roster, treat him like Aaron Hicks, right? And that was that original Cashman quote, that it's not different than Edwin, it's not different than Gary, it's not different. He went into Schwarber, and there was someone else he name dropped that it was like, well, it's a little different, Cash, but...
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, if he's healthy, he's healthy, but I would start him off as the Cameron Maben role, replacing Stanton, and see what we got. So, you know, these games are going to be intense, man. I'm excited and nervous. I'm just ready to fucking do it. We're still a day away here.
Whew.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Got anything else? You got anything else? You excited? What's your routine going to be?
I'm excited. Pre-game show, Talking Yanks. Check it out on podcast apps, or maybe that John Jang Boy YouTube channel, or the Talking Yanks YouTube channel.
We should be running hot Saturday for the pre-game show. So tune in on YouTube or the podcast app. And hey, we broke our record. Last episode was the most downloaded in the history of the show. Tell all your friends, we're in the ALCS now. Let's break the record again. We love you guys for it. And we made Show Me Your Bird shirts. Those will be out.
Yeah.
They crack me up every time. But tune in for the pregame show. We'll get going then. We'll be excited as hell. I am a ball of nervous energy. It feels... Well, what's the thought I want to say? 2017, it was so happy-go-lucky to get to the ALCS because we didn't expect anything starting that season. And it was heartbreaking to lose it, but it was like, damn, can't believe we did that. And then to not make the ALCS last year, it was embarrassing. And now I feel like, okay, let's not take this for granted. Let's get to work. Like, we gotta do business. So... Game one versus Granke. Let's go. Yeah, and Yankee fans, this is a downer. No team has ever swept the DS, swept the CS, and swept the World Series. No team has ever done that. We may have to lose two to win four. So one game is not damning. There's going to be a loss in this series. So let's not lose our heads over one.
Are we almost being dumb? Like, are these just two juggernauts, two great teams, that this is going to be a seven-game series?
Feels that way.
Yeah, I honestly don't have an honest opinion on it, because I think normally I would think that when two teams this caliber come together, I normally lean that way. I don't know. It may be a skewed view from my Yankees reality, but I think that game four, the Tampa one, was impactful.
All right, let's hope so. Thank you guys very much. We will be back whenever the game ends, and on the pregame show, and on the next pregame show, and then whenever the next game ends, you're guaranteed four more game recaps and game previews. So there's a lot of content to churn out. Thank you for being part of this with us. We will see you tomorrow. Go Yanks. Tell them, Grams.
Go Yankees.